Alrighty, rocking and rolling. Hour number two of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in the founder of Go Long at GoLongTD.com. And that's one of our favorites. And Ty Dunn, kind enough to join us once again on the extravaganza. Ty, great to see you. How you been? Happy divisional round weekend to you.
The best sports weekend on the calendar, Zach. So an honor to be here with one of the GOATs. And I went to Syracuse, but I grew up near St. Bonaventure. So, you know, seeing in that Temple hoodie, I have memories of John Chaney taking a cookie, you know, and the famous J.R. Bremer in the corner game. So we did have that on you, even though I didn't really go to Bonas.
How about that? I wasn't expecting to be talking Temple with you right out of the gate, but I am asking people to do so, wearing my Temple sweatshirt after Temple did defeat Memphis last night, a top 25 team. So take that, Penny Hardaway. Let me start you off with how we started the show today. We're talking about the Chiefs, and I'm saying Mahomes this year is obviously playing for three straight championships, which no quarterback has ever done in the Super Bowl era. And then also, I'm looking at the all-time great category. Right now, I have Brady 1, I have Montana 2, Mahomes at 3, and then Peyton Manning in at 4 out of the Super Bowl era quarterbacks. You know, Mahomes wins another championship, or whenever he wins his next one, I think he clearly solidifies himself as the second greatest quarterback of all time, still chasing Brady. What do you think about that?
Hell yeah. I completely agree. I think he is right there with Tom Brady, probably a notch below, right? We got to look at the Vince Lombardi trophies. That's number one. But man, if he three-peats, if he gets through this AFC again, Arrowhead Invitational, all of that. I feel like we're sleeping on this team yet again. I don't know how we do it every year. I live here in Buffalo, and all we're thinking about is Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Sean McDermott. Can he get over the hump? And there's Patrick Mahomes. He's got to love this, that he's had 2 weeks to rest. That whole roster's had 2 weeks to kind of refuel, and they're going to be ready to go. You know, Mahomes is so much like those two players you just mentioned, Brady and Montana. You talk to people close to him, there's just a zillion stories, but one that pops to mind is, you know, he just rises to the moment. In every sport, it doesn't matter if he's throwing hatchets with his buddies at a bachelor party, if he's playing golf at Augusta with his friends, basketball back in high school. You know, one of his best friends told me that after that Super Bowl loss to Tampa Bay, he was on the course, you know, just, you know, getting around in at Augusta, and he got the call that they were signing Orlando Brown. Remember, if you remember, he's running for his damn life against the Bucks. They needed help on the line. And there was something about that news. You know, he had a terrible shot into the rough, had to get it out, had to get it on the green, and had the chip of his life the second that he got the call from Brett Veach. Like, that good news just kind of put him in the mental space to have the shot of his life on the golf course. He rises up to these moments until further notice. It's a Patrick Mahomes world, and we tend to forget that.
Can you see any way that the Texans find a way to walk into Arrowhead and take down the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend on divisional round weekend?
I mean, this is where we have to call it a bye week, and D'Amico Ryans uses this clip as motivation, right? Like Rex, of course, Rex would.
Where's
do that
Ty Dunn guy? He said we were done. Now your career is done. Texans go to the championship game. That would be pretty cool, I will say.
It's a fun team. I love the Texans. I mean, Will Anderson Jr. is one of the great personalities, one of the most violent players in the game that we don't talk nearly enough about. I just cannot see the Texans going into Kansas City and winning this game. I could be dead wrong. I hope I'm dead wrong, but no, I can't see that happening. I mean, the rest, you know, I think too often we kind of have that paralysis by analysis, and we think that rust is a real thing. Maybe it is from time to time, but look at Andy Reid's record out of bye weeks. When he has time to prepare, he's going to know your scheme better than you know your own scheme. And I feel like they're going to be ready for everything. And look, C.J. Stroud just hasn't been the same quarterback this year. I think it's safe to say it's not really a scalding hot take at this point. I mean, Bryce Young has been better than C.J. Stroud in year two. And I don't think it's close.
Wow. Even with Stroud still finding a way to win that division and still finding a way to win a playoff game, you would think Young, with what he did in the second half, is better than Stroud.
I think so. I mean, early on in his career as a rookie, Bryce Young, I feel like he was just stuck in a very elementary offense with Frank Reich. And yet at the same time, they asked him to set all kinds of protections and do a lot of stuff that rookie quarterbacks don't have on their plate. So it's like the worst of all worlds. He couldn't play free. He couldn't think free. So eventually they moved on from Frank Reich and they get a new coach in there. It starts ugly. He's got no talent around him whatsoever. I think once you kind of get another receiver, you start drafting some more talent. They're getting their picks back now. There's a lot to love about Bryce Young. I think it says more about Young and the fact that he's kind of finding who he was at Alabama more than an indictment on Stroud. And we didn't really know what is Bryce Young's special. Like, what does he have inside to compensate for being a small quarterback? I'm not really sure what that is, but there's something about his rhythmic game. When he's feeling it, he can sense the rush as well as any young quarterback. You kind of saw it that last month of the season. Really a sneaky storyline we probably didn't talk enough about.
Talking to Ty Dunn right now, talking about a quarterback who's been young and sensational this year, Jaden Daniels. They get the playoff win last week off the field goal upright and in. Daniels has the Lions this upcoming weekend on Saturday in Detroit. I think that the Commanders could give him a fight for three quarters, but I do think that the Lions end up winning this game probably by 10 points. I feel as if this is a 30-20 type of game with Detroit taking it. Yourself?
I mean, I would love to just have a bold take and say the Commanders are going to waltz into Ford Field and take it to Dan Campbell, but I'd probably have to get drug tested by Roger Goodell. I mean, it's hard to see a Dan Campbell coach team having a letdown. I mean, my God, they get thumped by the Bills, 22 guys on IR. It looks like their season is falling apart, and not just like anybody on IR, by the way, not like scrub third string tight ends. You're talking Aiden Hutchinson would have been the defensive player of the year. Aleem McNeil, maybe the best defensive tackle in football. I mean, these are poison pills. They should have been. They should have been done after these injuries. And that's just the power of Dan Campbell. It doesn't matter who he throws in there. The quote-unquote northern savages that he's picking up on the fly. You know, guys like Jamal Adams for a dozen snaps here and there. That culture is real. I will say this, though. Dan Quinn has really rebuilt those Commanders in the same vein. And I'm shocked. I think everybody's pretty shocked that Dan Quinn has been able to do it so quickly. But chatting with his assistant coaches a week ago, I mean, when those players first got in the building for phase one, you know, you think a first-year coach, he's ready to implement his offense, implement his defense, get talking X's and O's. He told his coaches, no football for 2 weeks. Just get to know the man. Get to know these players as human beings so you can really connect on a deeper level. And all of those coaches, I mean, Daryl Tapp, Joe Witt Jr., Tavita Pritchard, they all say that when they kind of faced adversity, that three-game losing streak in the middle of the season, those bonds were so strong that when everybody thought the Commanders were kind of regressing to who they were going to be all along, they knew they'd be fine. And I think that that's similar to what Dan Campbell has done in Detroit. The Commanders are built to last. I'm not sure if it's going to be a blowout. I think the Lions win. You just can't see them losing at home. But I think that Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn, everything that they've been building there, they give us a show, bare minimum.
If I were to text you tomorrow evening and I go, Ty, I can't believe that just happened. What do you think's more likely is the way that I'll say it? The Commanders beat the Lions or the Texans end up beating the Chiefs? What's more likely to you?
I think what's more likely is the Commanders winning. Like I said, not going to bet against Detroit. It's Jaden Daniels is not a normal rookie. I mean, you saw him in that wild card game, fourth quarter, right? His first playoff game. Shouldn't he be jittery and shaken and nervous? And there he is just laughing on the sideline.
Especially smiling. How many times they got shut out. I know that they got a gift, but still on fourth down, he makes that throw. Man, that's moxie. That's guts.
And juxtapose Jaden Daniels' body language with like a Sam Darnold. Like even that first big completion to Justin Jefferson, it was like he was skittish, kind of patting the ball, a little unsure. Look, everybody knows this is where legacies are defined. I mean, what you do in these games matters 100 times more than anything you did against the Titans in September. So there are quarterbacks who are going to rise to that moment. Mahomes is in his own category. I think that Jaden Daniels has some of that special stuff in him. And that maybe we're not talking about it like a Patrick Mahomes, but he's going to be in that category of dudes who are totally unshaken by the pressure that you face in these football games.
I can't wait to see Ty Dunn, and I'm going to the game, how Rams and Eagles will play out. The Rams before the year were my pick to win the Super Bowl. With after their first month and a half of the season, I didn't think that was likely. We know Philly has so much talent, but the Rams and the weather is a concern. But still, you got McVay, you got Stafford, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp. And that defense, you know, it's not easy to replace Aaron Donald, duh, obvious statement of the day. But they have drafted a few guys through the last few years that they're playing really well as a unit. What do you think gives here between the Eagles and the Rams?
I love that last point that you made, Zach. I mean, you give this scouting department some picks, and they've been nailing them. I mean, across the whole D-line, it's impressive. I mean, what else can you say? This team has shown that they can microwave a Super Bowl winner like that in the snap of a finger, trading for, you know, Von Miller and Odell Beckham and the Stafford trade before that. And that now they've kind of replenished the roster. You know, they had one bad year in there to kind of reset. But once they got their picks back, beefing up that defensive line to not miss a beat when you lose one of the greatest defensive players in the history of the sport. We don't talk enough about these scouting staffs, and you just hope those guys in the LA Rams, they get some promotions or a bonus, at least, you know, at least Jelly of the Month Club or something, because they're loaded up front. And I like the Rams in this game, wherever they play, in a dome, on the grass, in the snow, in the cold. I don't care. I feel like that defense is going to keep them in games. And Matthew Stafford, yeah, they kind of petered out toward the end of the year offensively. It seems like he is rising up to who he was in that Super Bowl run. I mean, he throws the prettiest football in the sport. And when he's on with McVay, they can be unstoppable. You saw it against the Bills. I mean, Puka Nacua is a star. Cooper Kupp is still doing his thing. And I think that Matthew Stafford is another one of those players that we're probably not thinking about enough, not talking about enough, as one of the best of this generation.
You know, it's a fascinating conversation because I said this the other day. When Stafford won the Super Bowl up against the Bengals, we started this Hall of Fame conversation. I said, he's still got to go another 3-4 years. And he's got to give you another moment. Now, I don't got another championship, but this is his chance to have that other moment. You go on the road in Philadelphia a lot of people have the Eagles advancing to the next round. This would be a really impressive moment for Stafford to kind of, you know, maybe even solidify that Hall of Fame spot.
I'm with you, Zach. I kind of felt the same way. We're always in a rush to just dive into those takes after a Super Bowl win. And the Stafford Hall of Fame stuff was all over the place, but you kind of had to see more out of him. And then they win 5 games and they're going through those, just a rough spell, kind of breaking in some young talent. The fact that they kind of have this next chapter, this new window opening up, and they're winning. If he goes into Philly and wins that game, gets to an NFC Championship game, man, can you imagine Matthew Stafford going back to Ford Field for an NFC Championship game? I mean, we all want a good story. That's it, okay? And we're getting ahead of ourselves. Hey, love Dan Campbell, love the Lions. I think they get to the Super Bowl. I think they win it all. If Matthew Stafford goes into Detroit and wins, now we have that Hall of Fame conversation, without a doubt.
All righty, let's get to Bills and Ravens. Who is there more pressure on? That's the toughest question I think I've ever asked. Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson?
Sean McDermott. Can I go with choice number three? I don't know if that's a cop-out. It may be. Look, I mean, Sean, what he did to clean up the mess that Rex Ryan left behind and the 17-year playoff drought, they've won 5 divisions in a row, is remarkable. I feel like that building, that culture, it kind of runs itself at this point. And you talk to people who have been in that building. I remember I talked to you a year ago about this all. Players, coaches, they sensed a tight coach creating a tight team, and that's how you get 13 seconds. That's how you get the snow globe loss to Cincinnati, and even last year against Kansas City at home. Look, I was around the team all week. This is a loose bunch. I feel like Sean McDermott has gone out of his way to kind of take a step back and get these guys to not believe that they can win, but believe that they should win. Like, but believe, you know, you're going to go out there and make the play. 4th and 2 against the Chiefs at home, you go for it. Steve Spagnuolo has the perfect call. It doesn't matter. Josh Allen mashes all the buttons and runs in for a touchdown. I mean, those kind of moments have been just breakthrough seminal moments for this head coach all season long. He has chosen to believe in his players. They've backed him up. And, you know, I just checked with Dawson Knox, and he kind of admitted that, you know, in some of these playoff games past, it wasn't this loose. They are trying to treat this like any other game, which is hard to do. Easier said than done. But it feels like they're in a good mental space going into this game against the Ravens. So we'll see what it all means, right? I mean, if Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry just roll all over this defense, then it's a much different conversation on Monday. But I do think the pressure's on the head coach in Buffalo.
Ty Dunn, before we let you run, I want to give you a few quick hitters. I'm going to give you the topic. You tell me what you think's going to happen with them this offseason. Aaron Rodgers, is he playing football? Is he back on the Jets, or is he somewhere else?
Aaron Rodgers ain't going to leave that money on the table. I will be floored if he retires. There's going to be a market. You look at the draft, you know, at least who you listen to that studies these guys. Doesn't seem like there's a ton of options for you if you're looking to restart at the quarterback position. Free agency, there never really is. Yeah, I think that somebody out there pays Aaron Rodgers and he starts week one. Is it Pittsburgh? I'd just be guessing. But yeah, I think he continues to play.
Do you think Davante Adams definitely follows Rodgers and Wright gets traded somewhere where Rodgers goes? Or do you kind of look at it as maybe Davante Adams winds back up in Green Bay where he never should have left?
I think Davante Adams wises up and realizes, you know, you still have a little juice. We saw it late last season, right? That was it, the Jacksonville game. I mean, there are a lot of moments Davante Adams proved he can still play. You got to look out for yourself, Davante. I know you're friends with Aaron and you guys had a lot of moments, but that was 5 years ago. You got to get with a young quarterback. A guy like Jordan Love would be perfect for him. The Packers could use Davante Adams. I feel like it's almost too good to be true. You got a lot of young receivers, a lot of B-plus players. You need an A-level talent. I feel like Davante Adams still has one really good year in him, and that, yes, he does kind of somehow, I mean, it's becoming the NBA where we don't even need to look at contracts anymore, right? These players can kind of will themselves into certain situations. I would think Davante Adams is smart enough to know Aaron Rodgers is on the decline. Get with a better quarterback.
Let's go to the most interesting man in football, Ben Johnson. Phenomenal play caller. Outside of that, we really know nothing else about him. We all thought he'd be the Commanders coach last year. Nope, back to Detroit. 1 week, we have him going to Chicago. The next week, we have him going down to Jacksonville. The other week, we have him going out to Sin City with the Raiders. Where is Ben Johnson coaching in 2025?
I've appreciated your original takes on this subject too, Zach. I mean, it's different than what's out there. I do like Ben Johnson as, can we just say, like, tone setter or something other than leader of men? I feel like we've been saying leader of men ad nauseum. Whatever that is. I think that he has that in him, in addition to being an innovator and a play designer and a play caller. To me, he checks every conceivable box. And spending some time around those Lions, you know, and chatting with, you know, David Blau, who's actually an assistant coach with the Commanders now, you know, he played for Ben Johnson Detroit. He said that, look, this is a coach who can step in front of a room, speak to everybody. And if you're around Dan Campbell every day, how could you not have some of that in you by osmosis? So where does he go? I would just be guessing like everybody else. But I feel like it's the team and the owner that has to do the selling to Ben Johnson. It's not the other way around. If the Chicago Bears can convince Ben Johnson that the structure's in place, he's going to want some say. And I feel like he should. You might only get one opportunity at this. If they're willing to give him some control, that just seems to make all the sense in the world. You get him with Caleb Williams, I would love to see that.
That's why I don't think it's going to be Chicago because Ryan Poles is there. Like, at least Shad Khan said, hey, if the new coach gives a compelling argument, I'll get rid of Trent Baalke. And then Brady's no dummy. Hey, Tom Telesco, you're out. We're putting lipstick on a pig to try to make us look a little bit more attractive. I think it's going to be the Raiders or the Jaguars. I really do.
Yeah, it's probably, I'm a hopeless romantic. It's probably more of a hope thing. Like, you want to just see the yes. Chicago Bears do the smart thing here and say, okay, like, these arranged marriages don't work. They don't. Usually these team presidents, you just drop into the pot. Like, it just kind of makes everything worse. You're probably right. He probably goes to the Raiders or the Jags. You know, Trent Baalke, there's that factor, but he's going to go somewhere where he's got control. And you know what? I know there's a lot of criticism levied Ben Johnson's way. I think he has every right to have a list of demands because he has earned it. The Lions are the best team in football, and he's a big reason for that.
All righty. Last thing I'll ask you, Ty Dunn. Sam Darnold, Minnesota, is he back? Is he somewhere else? And if so, what's your best educated guess on this one right now?
Stunned to see where Sam Darnold's career went those final 2 weeks. If you were to ask me this 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I'd say, yeah, the Vikings have to pay him, whatever that is, $40 million a year, $45 million a year. I mean, he's off of that big win over Green Bay. They're hoisting him up his shoulders and spreading the bubbly, all that stuff in the locker room, that amazing scene. You have to weigh those two final games and move on from Sam Darnold and stick with the original plan, which was J.J. McCarthy. So J.J. McCarthy had this year to sit and wait and learn, and he looked really good. Everybody I talked to in Minnesota said, look, at the jump from OTAs to that second week of training camp was substantial. If he can improve that much over a dead period in the NFL calendar, I can't imagine what he would do with coaching up throughout an entire training camp. I think you have to rip the Band-Aid off. Go to J.J. McCarthy. Where does Sam Darnold go? I have no clue what his market's going to be. I think supply and demand will be at play. Somebody's going to pay him. Maybe it is a Baker Mayfield kind of deal. Maybe a coach like Brian Daboll in New York says, you know what? I don't want to gamble on, you know, Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, whoever they might get at three. Who knows if you even have the opportunity to get a guy at three. Here in Buffalo, seeing what Daboll did with Josh Allen. I mean, Josh Allen has proven himself to be, you know, special in his own right, but it's easy to forget how raw he was out of Wyoming and as a rookie, even into year two. And I think what Brian Daboll did with Josh Allen is the reason he got that job. What Joe Shane did in discovering Josh Allen and valuing him and drafting him over Josh Rosen with Brandon Bean is how he got the job. They deserve the right to kind of find their guy. I'm glad they kept their jobs. Is Darnold their guy? I don't know. But, you know, I feel like he could be the coach that squeezes some more out of Sam Darnold.
I lied to you. I got one final question. So earlier I asked you, hey, who is there more pressure on? Is it Josh Allen or is it Lamar Jackson? And you responded, it was Sean McDermott. 0 to 100%. Zero, no chance. 100, definitely going to happen. If they lose this game in the playoffs again because of coaching, and maybe McDermott has his Sam Darnold moment where he's got praised all through the season, and then it just goes right down the drain here in the playoffs. But what are the chances that the Bills would finally move off of Sean McDermott?
You know, it would be minuscule, Zach. Maybe two, right? Just barely above zero, for the simple fact that, yeah, I mean, pressure justifiably would build, as it should. You rarely ever see coaches get to year 7 and 8 without winning a Super Bowl and then win it. I think there's like 5 in history who have done it. So that's why we're talking about Sean McDermott in these terms, but they have a well-oiled machine of an organization. He's a big reason for that. And then all you have to do is look over to the hockey team here in Buffalo. They're in last place. Their GM has been in place for 5 years, and Terry Pegula has not moved off of that. I would be stunned if he messes with the football operation, regardless of how Sunday goes. But I tell you what, at the local coffee shop, you know, you go to Spot Coffee in Hamburg Monday morning off of a Bills loss, and it would be very interesting to hear what fans have to say.
Make sure you check them out, golongtd.com. I am a subscriber. It is unbelievable. Some of the best football coverage around. He is Ty Dunn. Ty, thank you.
Thank you, Zach. Really appreciate the kind words, man. I always enjoy it.
Yep, you're the best. There he is, Ty Dunn. Always appreciate the way that he views football. We'll take a break. When we come on back, the Cowboys. We got a little information about what happened with Mike McCarthy. We'll spill the tea for you next. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. We'll give you a quick Cowboys pop right here. Let's go to Diana Rossini. She was on the Scoop City podcast, and she gave this little scoop when it came to the Cowboys' thought process, which they're search right now, and could Deion Sanders actually wind up there?
There's definitely a camp that I'm talking to that's like, this is not real. This is not real. They talked.
Really?
This is all flirting. This is all... Jerry was not expecting Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys to go separate ways. The plan was to bring him back. They did not have a plan in place here. So a lot of this was scrambling, from what I can gather, of just, I need to figure out how to fix this quickly.
Wow.
So... that's the fascinating part. We didn't find anything new in terms of Deion Sanders, right? You either think he's going to be the coach or you don't. They've had a conversation. We knew that on Monday night when Schefter got on to ESPN. But I had that theory going back to last week when we discussed about Mike McCarthy's future. And I said, all right, McCarthy got denied by the Cowboys to talk to the Bears. it doesn't. McCarthy is definitely going to be back because Mike could want out. And he could go interview on Tuesday of what would have been this week with the contract expiring before we found out that the Cowboys wanted to overtake the final wild card game and get in front of the cameras and basically be a bunch of publicity whores, which they always are. And the Cowboys then made it official then where Mike was free to talk to whoever. And you know that he has talked to the Bears, right? And also the Saints are in the mix as well. But that information at the end by Diana Russini that Jerry Jones wasn't expecting this, it shows you the arrogance by the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. Because they thought, because of the brand that is the Dallas Cowboys, that they could do whatever they want to Mike McCarthy. And Mike was just going to say, yep, get me the campfire, get me the milk and cookies, and Jerry Jones, I'm coming over your house and we're going to have a good sleepover. We're going to have a little slumber party. Get the footy pajamas out. We're going to have a good time. That's pretty much what Jerry Jones thought was going to happen when it comes to Mike McCarthy. But Mike McCarthy had a backbone because I'm sure Mike McCarthy was eventually offered an extension. You know, I'm sure they talked about that. Even if you hear there wasn't a lot of contract talks, I'm sure Jerry Jones was like, oh, we'll give you a 2-year extension. And Mike McCarthy looked at it and said, hey, I can go in the open market. I may not get a job, but if I do get a job, and he feels confident that he will get a job, that he's probably going to get a 4 or 5 year contract. And you don't have to deal, even though he's done a good job, him and Dak Prescott pretty much being numb and immune to all the nonsense that Jerry Jones spews. But you had a situation where Mike McCarthy was like, I could go somewhere else and have less stress. Even if you go to Chicago, like, hey, the Bears are going to look at you as someone that needs to fix Caleb Williams, but it is a very stressful job. Now, I'd do it for the money that Mike McCarthy makes, to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And McCarthy felt disrespected, and he basically, I think, told Dallas to go pound sand. And I respect Mike McCarthy for that because the Cowboys only wanted you back on their terms. And they were naive enough to just think that the Cowboys brand, even though it's worth billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars, it is still not the way that the Cowboys view it, as that everyone's dying to represent the star and to rock the star. And if you don't do things a certain way with the coach, say what you want about him, has won a Super Bowl in your building, won a Super Bowl a whole lot recently than you've ever either been to a Super Bowl or have won a Super Bowl, he has negotiating power. He has leverage. And he's betting on himself and saying, I'll go elsewhere and now we'll leave you scrambling. So a lot of people are now on this sloppy Cowboys search already, where now they're starting to see things that I've said for years, that the Cowboys don't care about wins and losses. They care about the most drama. And the biggest problem with the Cowboys is Jerry Jones calls every shot. Every single shot. No decision is made in that organization. I know Will McClay is very good. I know you got Stephen Jones, but no decision is made without Jerry Jones having his fingerprints on it. And look at what we already had in this search. McCarthy gone. Deion Sanders' name thrown out there. That's to get a bunch of attention. You also have Kellen Moore, who would be the ultimate puppet coach, would be very much like Jason Garrett for Jerry Jones. And then also, this was Nick Harris joining us the other day on Wednesday, right here on the Zach Gelb Show extravaganza. And just listen to, like, remember, the Cowboys don't have a coach yet. They don't have a head coach. In most organizations, you employ the head coach, and the head coach picks his staff. Is there some overlap, right? Like the GM suggests someone, the owner suggests someone, sure. But for the most part, the coach, the head coach, gets to pick his staff. Listen to this minute exchange with Nick Harris, and you hear a bunch of names, at least two positions on the staff, regardless of who the head coach is, that Nick Harris is confident will be fulfilled. Jason Witten, that name has also emerged. They're not going to hire him as the next head coach, right?
No, I don't believe so. But it would surprise me if he's not on staff. It is a widespread expectation that he is going to be on staff in some capacity. Now, Jerry, he does these weekly radio hits twice a week, and there's a lot of things that are discussed in those. And it definitely makes my job unique as far as, you know, covering an NFL team. But in those many, many interviews, he's been asked about Dan Campbell a few times. And every time Dan Campbell is brought up, almost every time, Jason Witten is brought up, by Jerry, and in a sense that he would like to replicate that with Jason Witten potentially one day. He's called Jason Witten a guy that he thinks would be a great NFL head coach. He's won back-to-back state championships here at the Texas high school level. Now it's the private school level, but still a tough thing to do here in the state of Texas. He's done a really good job building that program, but the NFL is obviously a much different beast, and it's going to be interesting how Witten factors into those conversations. I think two other guys you could potentially look at, former players that could potentially be on a staff that the Joneses would like. You have Texas running backs coach Tashard Choice and Oklahoma running backs coach DeMarco Murray. One of those two guys, I think, would end up being your running backs coach in 2025.
So think about that. We don't even have the head coach yet in Dallas. And whoever this head coach is, according to Nick Harris, is probably going to have to put Jason Witten on the staff, where you know Jerry Jones is crazy enough in a few years to make Jason Witten the replacement for the guy that they're hiring. And also, running back coach-wise, we already have two names. You know, let me tell you something. I have never heard of a head coaching search where the head coach isn't picked. And we've already been told, according to Nick Harris, who covers the team and used to work for the team. He used to be a writer at Cowboys.com, and now he's with the Star Telegram. And he's already giving us two specific names, Tashard Choice or DeMarco Murray, to be the running backs coach. We already have two coaches on the staff, one of the running back coach, and then Jason Witten in some capacity, and we don't even know who's all the people getting interviewed. This is surreal. This is crazy, but it's the Jerry Jones way. And I would say, Stu, it's surprising, but nothing that happens with the Cowboys anymore is, you know what? They could name Samter the next head coach, and I would not be surprised, because Jerry Jones is that bleeping crazy. He really is. So any name that's thrown out there, I will not dismiss it. I will not dismiss it, because it just, this is why the Cowboys are the Cowboys. Because you don't empower the football people that you hire. You're all a bunch of puppets. And Jerry Jones is sitting there with the strings, and he's controlling the entire organization. And that's what's happening. Like, how do you get a good candidate here? You know, imagine they sit down Ben Johnson, who Ben's all about alignment. Hey, Ben, we need you to have Jason Witten as the tight ends coach, and we need either Tashard Choice or DeMarco Murray to be the running backs coach. Yeah, the rest of the staff you can pick. But we need, you know, two of those three guys on staff. Just ridiculous. Take a break. Come on back. We'll update some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We will do a news brief next. But first, before we get to ACK, it is time to ask the pros. You, the listener, gets to ask us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Here's Zach.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, news brief time. Let's get it going. You know, who knows how much Carson Beck got paid to go be the quarterback at Miami, but it's rumored to be a lot. Here is Travis Hunter on his show, The Travis Hunter Show, saying he can't believe how much Carson Beck is making in NIL.
How do you get $10 million? Where's my $10 million?
Right. Shoot. You need 40.
Mm. How are all these people getting this much money, bro? Hold on. Let me go test it out, bro. I'm going back to college, bro. Let me see if I can get me $100 million. Let me see if I can go back and, you know, win another Heisman. Because $10 million, I ain't make that in college.
That's what they say.
Yeah, let me go hit the portal right quick, bro.
Bring him back.
$10 million? Bro, right. That's a lot of money. I saved my money, and they ain't even got $2 million in my bank account.
So two things. Number one, Travis Hunter, you need to stay in the draft. Here's why. You're going to be a top three pick. Patriots have the fourth pick. So selfishly, when I look at that whole thing, if he was able to go back to college, then you have the two quarterbacks going 1-2, and then the Giants or whatever, and the third pick can go snatch up Abdul Carter. And I think the Patriots should get Abdul Carter. The other part here is we had Danny Cannell on the other day. And I've been told, too, before, from people in the college world, and Danny basically reiterated as well, no one knows what's true with these numbers. So look at Travis Hunter, who we know made a good amount of money in college from NIL, and he's even saying he wasn't able to make $10 million. So how is Carson Beck able to make $10 million? So I don't think the numbers out there are necessarily true when it comes to Carson Beck. Let's go to Aaron Rodgers. He was on the Pat McAfee show, and this is Aaron Rodgers on his future with the Jets.
I think everybody understands that it's going to come down to a GM and a coach and myself, and whether we all want to do a dance together or if it's not in the cards.
Stu, I could look into this many ways. So that's the right answer by Aaron Rodgers, right? Whether you want to come back or not, right now you delay, you keep the intrigue out there, you say it's up to the GM and the head coach. Is it really up to the GM or head coach? Because it's really up to Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers. Those are the two most important people there. The GM and head coach could say, we want Aaron Rodgers back. If Woody Johnson says, not on my watch, well, Woody Johnson's going to get his way. He's the owner of the damn team. Now, the new head coach and the new GM could also say, hey, Aaron, we want you back. We got approval from Woody Johnson. And Aaron Rodgers still may not want to come back. So I heard what Ty said earlier, Ty Dunn, when he joined us. He thinks Rodgers is playing somewhere. He just doesn't know where. I'm kind of at the point, Stu. I'm good if Rodgers retires. I am officially Aaron Rodgers out. And if he is going to leave the Jets, which I think is going to happen, where are you going? You're going to the Raiders? PU. You won't make the playoffs there. You're going to the Steelers? All right, you can make the postseason. At least have a good finish to your career if you just make the postseason. At least you make the playoffs. But is Mike Tomlin and company going to be interested? You know, you got to go be a mentor because you love to do that for a year in Tennessee and whoever they draft with Shador Sanders and Cam Ward. Come on. Give me a break. You want to go to Cleveland? You know, I like Cleveland. You want to end your football career, Aaron Rodgers, in Cleveland? I don't think so. That's why, Stu, I'm at this point. Just retire. I've nothing against Aaron. I just had enough with the daily Aaron Rodgers conversations that, trust me, we have had to have a lot of throughout the years.
Unless he hangs around into training camp and maybe someone gets hurt. Not wishing injury on anyone, yeah. But maybe that's his best shot at being on a team next year.
You know what? I have a bold take. Bold take. Minnesota. Follow the Brett Favre playbook. Hey, McCarthy, kid. Sit on the bench for a year. I'll come walking into Minnesota with my Wrangler jeans. We'll see how that goes. Let's go to Roger Goodell. Could the NFL move to 18 games?
I think if we continue to focus on the safety, I think 18 is a potential. And as you know, we would take a preseason game away. Oh. So we would keep within that 20-game framework. We actually started 14 and 6 preseasons. We went to 16 and 4 and now 17 and 3. So 18 and 2 is a logical step. But we would only do that with the players.
Bloomberg News, courtesy of that. Roger Goodell, you money whore. You big, fat, greedy pig. Seriously. And I love how they try to make it as if it's safe. Oh, well, we're cutting away a preseason game, and we're just adding on to the regular. No one gives a rat's ass about the preseason anymore. Most of these players don't even play. And your product this year in the regular season has been bad. It's been sloppy. So let's take away more from the preseason. Let's take away and limit contact in the offseason. And let's add a regular season game. The NFL is a cash cow. I understand they'll do anything to get more money. But in this case, you don't need to do it. Now, I'll still watch. I'll still be a sucker. But has your regular season product been better since going to an extra game? Has your postseason product, has wild card weekend, they don't even call it super wild card weekend anymore because they know it's not super, has that been phenomenal since adding an extra wild card team? No, it hasn't. All the games last week were boring. They were blowouts. So stop tinkering with the system. We don't need to add an extra regular season game. And if someone is going to debate in a few years, oh, let's add an eight playoff teams in the AFC and the NFC. Why? You want to become the NBA, where everyone basically gets into the postseason? It's a participation trophy, and the regular season is crap. So just stop. Keep it how it is. You've already done enough. All righty, let's get to Max Crosby, who's on Good Morning Football via the NFL Network. His thoughts on the possibility of Coach Prime to Stu's Raiders?
On a personal level, I've known Deion, Coach Prime, for a long time. My brother actually was roommates with his son, Bucky, Deion Jr. So they go way back. So Deion's whole family. I remember seeing Shador when he was a little kid. I was at their house in Texas.
Really?
People don't know that. I've known them for forever. So I'm really close to Shador, Deion Jr., his whole family. So they're great people. So, yeah, I mean, if Deion Sanders was my coach, how could I be mad? Yeah.
All righty, Stu, you in? Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, silver and black.
Sure. I my first choice is Ben Johnson, but I think they could do far worse than Deion Sanders.
If you had to give me five picks for the Raiders, five guys you want to get the job, who would your five guys be?
Ben Johnson.
Now I'm craving a hamburger, by the way.
Ben Johnson, Coach Prime, Pete Carroll for sure. Ugh. The list after that gets kind of...
That's where you just want to cut it.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I guess Liam Cohen maybe. Oh, Flores would be okay. I'd be fine with him.
So Flores...
Flores, then Cohen.
Liam Cohen, Ben Johnson, Coach Prime, Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
You know what? You could do Jerry Jones's job. You could. You could go to the Cowboys, and you could do this search, and probably do this search better than Jerry Jones. And you wouldn't say, hey, Coach Prime, we got to put Jason Witten on your staff, or DeMarco Murray at Tashard Choice. Come on, what are we doing?
Darren McFadden is the running backs coach.
No. You know, I need a Temple Bethel Johnson as my special teams coordinator. Okay? Let's make sure we get that happening. Ay, ay, ay. Ay, crazy. Yeah, it was a great Chris Berman one. Bethel Johnson. He was like, Temple Bethel Johnson. I always love that with Berman. All righty, we'll take a break. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, who is there more pressure on this weekend? Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen? Don't be one of those dopes that go, oh, it's both. We're asking you to pick one. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. And also, Andrew Perloff. Perloff picks coming up 25 minutes from now.